the gig economy, I mean, was a big deal, right? That was how you were able to get talent in places. I mean, I had a woman in Jamaica doing org charts for one of my clients, right? And so now I see the shift where the conversation is probably going to be less about how the gig economy is taking over, and what benefits do the giggers need? Because now those giggers can now actually be viewed as viable for full-time opportunities with benefits, right?
Yeah.
And this is going to force a lot of organizations to look differently at that, because now we can shift that conversation in another direction. And as unfortunate as COVID is, and you know, my mom was diagnosed, my grandfather,
Oh no.
luckily they're well.
Okay.
They both live in Brooklyn, New York, and so that was the epicenter, obviously, in the beginning. It has impacted my family. I will say that there are so many positives from this, right? That inevitably, someone in the middle of America who is absolutely viable and smart, but can't make the move because they have two children, can be employed and change the life of their family. How amazing is that?
Welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, rock stars, welcome back to another episode, a rock star episode of Rockstars Rockin'. That's hashtag for Rockstars Rockin'. And boy, am I fired up and excited, as always, for another week, another guest. This guest this week is very special to me. Is a client of mine, or I should say former client. We'll dig into that. It's all positive, don't worry. But a former client of mine of late, and I'm excited to have Sana Rasool on the podcast. Welcome, Sana.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Eric. This has been a long time in the making, right? At least 2 months.
Absolutely. So, Sana, for those of you that don't already know or aren't already connected, first off, make sure you stop everything. Well, maybe don't stop listening, but as soon as you're done listening, make sure you go over to LinkedIn and connect with Sana online. She is the chief girlfriend at HR Girlfriends. She is a career coach and also an HR consultant on demand for hire, I imagine, which we will also get to. And I met Sana a couple of years ago through a partner of mine who introduces my actual full-time gig, my benefits firm, to companies. And Sana's former company at this point is based out of DC, and we just hit it off immediately. She was kind enough to introduce me to her HR girlfriend community pretty quick on her Facebook Live, which I still appreciate. And now she's moved onward and upward. She's doing some really crazy, great, amazing things. And I want to talk about that today. So Sana, do you mind if I just dig right in?
That's what I'd love to do. Let's do it.
All right, perfect. So first off, HR Girlfriends, let's talk about that. First off, that's a crazy cool name. I love the name. Where'd the name come from? And talk about where the idea came from as far as starting your own business.
That's a good question. I'll take you back and then I'll take you forward. So I remember being about 21 years old and Oprah Winfrey had a show on where she had Sarah Blakely, who started Spanx.
Sure.
And she had this other gentleman who was called Rent-A-Husband. He was making $1 million plus a year. He used to be homeless in his van. He could fix things and there you go. And I remember sitting down with a pad and paper going, oh, what's my business idea? And at 21, I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I was also still figuring out life. And so therefore there that goes. But fast forward, I would say HR Girlfriends was about the right opportunity, the right time, because I can't take credit for the name. In fact, the quick and dirty is I was introduced to HR Girlfriends as an ad hoc meetup.com group. It originally was ran by one organizer. She called it HR Professional Girlfriends. The next organizer dropped professional, called it HR Girlfriends. And by the time I had learned about it, all I wanted to do was help plan some events. I wanted to meet more HR people, more women. And the organizer says, got a three-year-old. I live in Baltimore now. Don't live in DC. You can have it. I was like, what? I can have what? Your meetup? And I had never even heard of meetup until someone pointed me there to find this group. Long story short, my mother says, you know, the universe had someone babysitting it for me because I instinctively knew there was something. I didn't know the something, but I had my first happy hour networking event about 3 weeks after she gave it to me. And I've been rocking and rolling since 2013.
That's awesome. Well, I love the rocking and rolling. That's awesome. And that's why we're here, is to talk about what you're doing. So talk about more about HR Girlfriends. Like, dig in if you can. Tell us what it is, what you do, what your mission is, how people can could find value with what you're doing.
Absolutely. So HR Girlfriends is all things HR, but it is also all things life. And what I mean by that is I was intentional about the programming that we put out. Most of what we do has two really distinct goals: to meet the personal and professional development needs of the women of human resources. We're more than our 9-to-5s. We are more than the jobs we've chosen and the titles we hold. And if we're not whole as people outside of our career choices, that is what we're going to bring to the table. That is going to be the barrier to higher salary, the barrier to better leadership, the barrier to a lot of things if we're not taking care of who we are. So I am all about developing women at home and at work, and that's what they expect from us. We have open and candid conversations. My goal is that if you want to work at Google, you should be able to do so without just applying online. And I use them as an example, but we've been able in the community to get women jobs at places like Discovery Communications and other places just from one connection or two connections. Women are standing next to their future bosses and they don't even know it. And so we no longer have any excuses with technology and interaction to say, this thing we want is not possible. And so HR Girlfriends digs deep. We support organizations of our HR professionals. And so we have a very unique model of consulting, in which we help small to mid-sized businesses really get into the HR compliance of it all. And I focus on that because when you can nail down the mundane day-to-day in HR, which is necessary, you get to then turn that energy into what's most important, the culture, the people. Right. But if you're HR pro, the one department of one is always focused on the paperwork, you'll never have the culture you need and want. Never. It'll always be about the open enrollment. It'll always be about the next report. And so that's important to me.
So I love how you talk about the connection step and how you're one or two connections away from finding that whatever, that miracle, that magic, that dream job, whatever it might be. So when it comes to HR Girlfriends, would you consider yourself in like an outsourced HR consulting firm, like outsourced HR, where a small or mid-sized company could hire you and or some of your team members to be their quote unquote in-house HR department? Or are you simply guiding folks and helping folks find jobs in some capacity?
Well, it's a combination of both. We have a very active career center where our members are fully engaged in posting their opportunities, which is really interesting because there are other associations in the world that have job boards. But what I pride myself on is that these very women who are posting jobs are easily accessible in the community and you can reach out to them. And in fact, that's what this is about. And so there's just a unique element to our career center and our connections in that way. But in terms of how we consult with organizations, we just ask that there's one point of contact in the organization that's there to partner with us to get the real meat of the work done, but we do the work for you. Mm-hmm. We really call ourselves like your back office, right?
That's awesome.
For a small to mid-sized company, having an HR back office would cost you thousands of dollars, right? And there's no guarantee, right? I hire person X and they're gone in 6 months. Well, here I am again with the same problem. We're committed to standing in on the HR compliance side for our organizations that we support. And we're very particular about who we choose. We want to make sure that the organization is committed to taking care of their people. That's important to us. If we feel that this is an organization that is just trying to cross T's and dot I's, we've actually had to say no a few times.
That's good. Well, I love the principles behind that, and that you are passionate enough to know who's right or who's not, and you stand up for your own organization as such. So let's talk about you know, what you're doing now, right? So you, I mentioned at the intro that I met you through being a benefits consultant for you, with you, in a partnership. And you recently took the leap of faith. You passionately said, you know what, throw everything out the window in a good way, and I need to move on. This is the time. And you know, you're taking a big risk. Talk about what you're about to do. Not changing course, but changing scenery, for lack of a better term. And by the way, I'm jealous. So talk about what you're doing and why you're doing it, and why timing was good now.
Absolutely. Listen, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I've lived in North Carolina, and here I am in the DC area. And so all my life I've been on the East Coast, but I've had a special love for the West Coast. And although I've always dreamed of living there, like many of us have dreams of living somewhere else, I wasn't sure when it would happen, but I believe in manifestation. So I did everything from changing passwords that would read in some combination the state I wanted to live in, to even my financial status. I have passwords that call myself a millionaire. And so, you know, for me, that's a big part of my life. And I have manifested California. I have taken a leap of faith. I no longer am an FTE, for those who don't know what that is in the acronym world. I'm no longer a W-2 full-time employee. I no longer do that as of about 3 weeks ago, because oddly enough, a lot of people didn't know I was like working full-time and running HR Girlfriends full-time. And so I had to build a team to support HR Girlfriends. So I honestly am just stepping into a well-made machine now, because I did the work. But I'm going to San Diego. And my goal was, when COVID hit, one was to stay alive. That was most important, right? Don't get COVID.
Kind of important.
And then the other part was, I started evaluating, what do I really want? What is it I want? And what am I afraid of going after? And it was a timing thing. And I said, no, I'm going to do that. I'm going to San Diego. I can work from anywhere. And right, you'll notice that organizations are getting it, right? We're seeing this shift. But for me, the courage to do this is a lot different than someone packaging things up neatly for you, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, I just heard Stripe is paying their employees $20,000 to move to cheaper places in the country. They'll have to take a 10% cut, but there's nothing wrong with that. That's still a leap of faith, right? Especially if you don't know someone somewhere. But I'm ready to just do much more and have a greater impact with HR Girlfriends.
I love it. Well, congrats on the move to be. I'm really jealous. I told you earlier, my wife and I, we love San Diego. So when we come into town, we're going to have to visit.
Dinner.
Absolutely. So I love what you talk about from a mindset perspective. I'm a big mindset guy. I'm a positive guy. Like, I'll do it in another handful of minutes when we're done, but I never end anything, whether it's my voicemail or email or a phone conversation or a podcast, with, all right, well, have a great day. I don't believe in having a great day. I believe in making it a great day. I believe in making sure that the mindset is always genuine and positive. And look, we all have bad days. So when you said that you have your passwords about where you want to live and where you want to be vision-wise and millionaire, all that, that's music to my ears. I'm totally on with that. I've never done it. I might steal it.
You should.
or R&D it. Robin duplicate is R&D. But I really like that. I love you touching on that. And that's probably why you have had so much success and passion for your industry and what you're doing now. Let me ask you though, because you mentioned work from anywhere, right? So talk about that, right? I'm a business owner and I believe it. Like I have an employee team member who lives in Missouri. I have one that's in Pennsylvania. I have one in Delaware, but not like right on the border. I'm in Maryland, not right on the border. Like they're a drive. Like I'm not forcing them to come into the office at all. And I don't even own an office anymore. My lease was up and it was during COVID. So I'm like, I'm not signing a new lease. I am totally 100% home based now. We are kicking ass, excuse my language. Our team members are amazing. And this whole environment has allowed me to expand my reach when we're hiring because it doesn't matter. They can be anywhere. So do you think that's going to continue as we hopefully find a cure or a vaccination? Do you think that companies big and small are going to continue hiring outside the geographic market because they can expand their talent base?
Absolutely. You know, prior to COVID, I would partner with a very popular gig site called Fiverr, fiverr.com. Right. Sure. And Fiverr and I had done some community events, you know, around various topics, and one being the gig economy. And I was very passionate about that because I've wore the hat, I am wearing the hat and have worn the hat of a full-time W-2 employee while running a business. So I've had the privilege of seeing both sides. And the gig economy, I mean, was a big deal, right? That was how you were able to get talent in places. I mean, I had a woman in Jamaica doing org charts for one of my clients, right? And so now I see the shift where the conversation is probably going to be less about how the gig economy is taking over and what benefits do the giggers need, because now those giggers can now actually be viewed as viable for full-time opportunities with benefits, right?
Yeah.
And this is going to force a lot of organizations to look differently at that, because now we can shift that conversation in another direction. And as unfortunate as COVID is, and you know, my mom was diagnosed, my grandfather, luckily they're well. They both live in Brooklyn, New York. And so that was the epicenter, obviously, in the beginning. It has impacted my family. I will say that there are so many positives from this, right? That inevitably someone in the middle of America who is absolutely viable and smart, but can't make the move because they have two children, can be employed and change the life of their family. How amazing is that?
You know, look, at the end of the day, you talked about, you know, connections earlier, and I'm a big believer in, you know, the old saying, it's not who you know, it's what you know. But I agree, but I actually turn it on its arse. I actually talk about it a little bit different. And I say, you know, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. At the end of the day, you know, I know a lot of people. I know who the CEO of Amazon is. Doesn't mean he knows me. I know the CEO, like we know everyone, you and I, but they don't know us. So yeah. Until they know us, that's what matters. And I just love how you're connecting with folks and how you're able to, the Jamaica story is incredible because it's so true. And I just, you know, if I was 10 years ago, I would have passed on a terrific team member who lives in Missouri that I never would have met, never would have been introduced to because of my small-minded thinking that they have to come to my office in Baltimore all those years ago. And I'm just so excited about where the world is going with respect to, you don't have to walk into an office every day to be productive and you can find talent anywhere. So I love that. Let me switch gears for a second. We have a few minutes left and I just wanted you to kind of tell all small, mid-sized businesses, anybody in general, if we hired you to consult and guide us from a human resources and culture perspective, what would you tell us when I come to you and I say, geez, Sanaa, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to address. I don't know how to talk about what's going on in the world with respect to the protesting and the riots and George Floyd and all that stuff that's happening, that's bubbling to the surface more and more each and every year. I'm just a small business owner. I sell insurance for a living as a full-time gig. You know, in my case, what advice could you give someone like me with respect to making sure that we have full inclusion and diversity within our workplace, and that we don't, as I say, we don't sweep it under the rug, that we talk about it and in human to human, professional to professional perspectives?
Absolutely. I've worked for small to mid-sized businesses my entire career. I remember before running HR Girlfriends, I wanted to work for Fortune 100, 500. That's a goal, right? I was like, Pepsi, all these places. Oddly enough, I'm now able to do that with my connections, but I don't want to. There is something so amazing about a small to mid-sized business. But what is unfortunate is that sometimes as a business owner, you've got to focus on the development of the business and keeping things afloat so that everyone can maintain. Sure. And that doesn't leave you a lot of room for quote unquote the luxuries, right? Like as important as culture is, it is a luxury when it's between getting the bills paid and getting clients through the door. And so my job from a culture perspective is to find out who you are as a leader. If you as a leader aren't ready to answer the question, who am I? Who are you? I want to know who are you? Not what kind of music you like, not what you drive. Who are you? What's the first time that you remembered differences is what I would be asking you, right? How old were you when you realized that you were a different race than someone else, right? I'm asking you questions about when's the first time as an adult you were faced with X or Y. This isn't therapy. This is just having you and I have dialogue around who are you? What shaped you? Because that's what your employees already know about you. They don't know the why, but they're experiencing all of the residuals of your experiences. And so that gives me a sense of who you are, what you believe in, your beliefs around money, because that's important, right? For a small to mid-sized business owner, if they have a certain belief around money and around people, then that tells me a lot about what I'm up against. It doesn't mean that I don't take you on as a client. And then once we get past the who is this person, who is this leadership team, I then go in very honest and say, here's what we've assessed. Here's what we think. You don't have to agree. In fact, I'd prefer you say nothing unless you're absolutely like, you caught me red-handed. I know this about myself. Sit with it. And then we go in and we start with the low-hanging fruit. I don't believe, look, you've already been doing the thing the way it's been done. So one shift at a time is all that's necessary. People just want to know that the people in charge care enough to put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And it's funny how you said, in a good way, how you said, it's not therapy, but you know, I'm married to a psychotherapist, somebody who master's degree, licensed clinical social worker, and she is my therapist. So whether I'm, you know, I can't pull anything past her, man. She's always diagnosing me, whether I know it or not. But the reality is, I love how you approach that. So you kind of turn what could be is a sensitive topic that needs to be addressed, and you kind of turn it around and you say, let's dig deeper, right? And you really pull out of your client or somebody who's asking you for that advice, think more deeply about themselves and where that question or potential could be, maybe I'm wrong, could be insecurity, where that's coming from, so that they can address it publicly and be proud of their statement. So I really like how you said that. I hope that our listeners took note of that. That was huge. So in our last couple seconds here, you said it offline, so I hope you can repeat it because it was amazing. What's Sanaa's key to success? What do you believe in?
I believe in a lot of things. I think prior I told you what did I say, Eric? I'm sorry. My brain just went blank.
We were talking about you moving to San Diego, and we were talking about Leap of Faith, and we were talking about how you left a great opportunity with amazing people at your old company.
Oh, yeah. So honestly, I mean, you know, and I think I touched on it a little bit with my manifestation that I talked about earlier. I believe that you only live once and that you have to do the things that speak to you. You have to honor yourself and you have to be sure that you can live with the things, the decisions that you make and you don't make. But I also believe that we have a duty to get closer to the person and things we're supposed to be doing, right? And so I know I paraphrase it a little differently earlier, but I just believe honestly that I've got one life to do this, and I'm all about people, and I want to make a difference. And I come from nothing, whatever that means to people. And I'm not afraid to lose, right? Because then inevitably I'll be starting right where I started in life anyway. And so I like risk. I like calculated risk. And if you're not a risk taker and you're listening to this, get you a risk taking accountability partner. Get you someone who is a risk taker, not just any accountability partner, not two introverts telling each other it's okay to stay in your shell. Sure. Get someone that'll say to you, it's okay. How about this? You don't have to speak, just show up.
Right. I like that. I'm a big accountability partner type person. I have accountability partners, friends of mine who push me and keep me honest, which is huge to me. Yeah. So, all right. Well, this has been fantastic. How can folks reach out to you? Where can they reach you? We'll put it in the show notes so nobody has to write it down right this second, but what's the best place to reach Sanaa?
So the best place to reach me is hrgirlfriends.com. We have a very accessible contact form. Or you can email me at sanaa@hrgirlfriends.com. If you're listening and you're in HR, I hope to see you on the membership roster very, very soon.
Awesome. Awesome. And look, that you've said it all. That I love your sign behind you. It says Girl Boss. For those that are only listening on the podcast, they're not watching the YouTube right now. This has been the Girl Boss, in my opinion. Sanaa Rasool, Chief Girlfriend at HR Girlfriends. I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for everybody who listened today, wherever you're consuming podcasts. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe on the podcast channel that you're listening and or as well on YouTube. If you haven't already done so, please, by all means, leave us a review, a short, nice little note. You can be honest. And don't forget, 5 stars would totally rock. For everybody behind the scenes at Rockstars Rockin', I'm Eric Silverman. That's Sanaa Rasool. And as I always say, and I said it earlier, I'm not going to tell you to have a great day. I'm going to tell you to make it a great day. Thanks, Sanaa. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rockstars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, Rockstars. Keep rocking.